You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Do you have your Bibles? Go to Psalms. We're going to read a couple of passages in Psalms. I want to talk to you this morning about worship. In particular, I want to talk about why we sing to the Lord, the actual concept of singing to the Lord. And worship is obviously more than singing to the Lord. The biblical concept of worship, the Hebrew word, is not just about singing. It's actually it's a picture of a life bowed down in reverence, prostrate before the Lord. It's a life concept worship. The Hebrew and the Greek word both have this concept where it's somebody that's bowing down with their forehead to the ground in awe, in reverence, in submission. This is ultimately when the Bible calls us to worship. It's calling us to a life of worship, which is a life of surrender, a life of bowing down, a life of reverence to the Lord. It's actually a picture of if you see somebody that's kneeling in submission and kissing the hand of somebody. That's the concept of worship in the Old Testament. The New Testament word kind of adds serving into that. And this is what we're called to. In fact, this is why Romans 12 is talking about that we present our bodies, our whole selves as living sacrifices. Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then it says, this is your true and proper worship. I'm gonna talk about singing today, but ultimately worship is not just about singing. It's about that I bring my whole life. In fact, the theme of Romans is that when the fall happened, we exchanged the worship of the one true God. Romans talks about this, that we exchanged the worship of the one true God, the only one worthy of worship. We exchanged that worship for the worship of creation. This is Romans. And so Romans is talking about the worship of the one true God. When the fall came, we exchanged that and ultimately worship creation or ourselves. And Jesus came to restore us, to redeem us, and to put us back to our original purpose, which is this, to worship the one true God. That our lives would not about being worshiping creation, but that he came and that God is looking for redeemed people in the earth. That God restored you and redeemed you so that you could once again go back to your original purpose, which is to enjoy God and glorify him in the earth. Now, in the process of that though, singing to the Lord is actually an integral part of the Christian faith. Now, for many of you, you come in, you sing, you enjoy it, but we don't necessarily theologically understand what is it, why is the Lord, why do we sing? I grew up in church. I mean, for my earliest memories were church. I grew up pretty conservative Baptist, but even then we still sang. It was a guy up front and an organ, and we sang hymns. None of this hand-raising stuff, but from what I can remember, church involved singing, but it was kind of like, I don't know, you come to church and you sing, right? It's kind of the appetizer before the sermon. It's kind of the pre-thing, you know. But ultimately, there's so much more to what God is inviting us to when he says, I am looking for a people in the earth who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have been restored to their rightful intention and purpose, which is to bring glory and to worship me in reverence and honor and to not worship creation, but God, the only one worthy of worship. Psalm 95. In fact, I would tell you this, that ultimately worship is a response. The Christian life is a response. Can I just tell you this? The Christian life is a response. So, I don't know if you know this, but you know, when people share a salvation story, they're like, well, when I was whatever and I found Jesus, and I just wanna raise my hand and say, you didn't find Jesus, he wasn't lost. You were lost and he came and found you, right? So even we love him, you know the only reason you love him? Because he first loved you. So our love for him is a response to his love for me. I forgive other people because he forgave me. I give because he's generous. And so worship is the same thing. Worship is a response to the revelation of his worth. That is the redeemed, we understand he is the only one worthy. And so we come and worship to him. But singing is a big part of this. Psalm 95, I want you to see this. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 3 says this. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And here's why. Anytime you see the word for, anytime you see the word therefore, you got to circle it because it is connecting what was just said. Here's why. Here's why we extol him in music song. Here's why we come before him with singing. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. He said, what's the response to the revelation that God is the King above all kings? The response is this. We come before him with song. We come before him with music. Psalm 96 says this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, and proclaim his salvation day after day. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Let me give you just the really basic thing is this. Do you know why we sing songs to the Lord? Because he tells us to and he really likes it. There are 50 direct commands in Scripture to sing and over 400 indirect or references to singing in Scripture. Wow. Do you know, at the end of the day, this is why we sing, because God says, I really like it when you come and sing. For whatever reason, God says, you know what I love? I love when you bring music and I love when you come with gladness and joy, thankfulness. He goes, I love when you come with joy and you sing songs. I love when you come and declare who I am. I love when you come and pour out your adoration. I love when you come and celebrate my goodness. I love, like God just says, I love again and again in Scripture. He says, you know what I want? I just want you to come and sing. I want you to come and sing in the assembly, not just by yourself. I want you to come with other people who have been redeemed. And just come and say, you're the great Lord. You're the only one worthy. And that we pour out our adoration. He loves when we sing to him. There's something about, because listen, this is the reality. This is the simplicity of what I want to tell you today. I don't know if you know anybody that's got more money than you have, or maybe a lot more money than you have. You know the person that's got a lot more money than you have, and then you got to get them a birthday gift for their birthday. You know, you're trying to figure out, what do I get you? You got everything. In fact, you should be giving me a gift is what should be happening. You know what I'm saying? But it's hard to buy for those people, you know? Think about this. This is the creator of the universe. This is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. They say, what could I bring you? And he just says, you know what you could bring me? I really love when you come and sing. I love when you come and just bring me with joy in your heart, the gift of song. And God actually created song and music to be one of the best vehicles for which we pour out the declaration of splendor, our adoration, declaring the attributes of who God is. Listen to this passage, Psalm 71, verse 8. It says, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Delight is so powerfully expressed through song. And God just says, come and sing. Doesn't matter if you got a good voice or don't have a good voice. Doesn't matter if you're musically inclined or not. He doesn't care. He goes, there's something about pouring out delight to God. Songs actually are the best way to express delight, and they're a best thing to lead you to a place of delight. Do you know that God actually has so much delight in you that he expresses it through song over you? Do you know that? That God loves you so much, that he has so much delight in you, that the way that he sings over you. Listen to this passage in Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. Listen to this phrase. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but this is how he's going to express his delight. This is how he's going to express his love for you. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wow. You know that God, he has so much delight over you that he says, I'm going to express it by singing over you. The Bible says that God sings over you. So God created music and singing just to come and to express delight and awe and wonder and adoration and love and to declare who he is and his attributes. And he says 50 times directly and 400 times indirectly, you know what I would love from you is for you just to come and sing. For you to come and bring songs of joy to me. We could close it. I could fly back to California right now. And that, like, there's no other reason we need. I'm going to tell you, there's real benefits when the people of God come together and sing. There's real benefits in our life for it. But at the end of the day, the only reason we need is because God said, I love when you come and sing. That's it. We don't need another reason. I can tell you the benefits that he has for you, but at the end of the day, it's not actually the starting place for us. I don't know if you know this, and this may be a revelation for some of you, more in America than in New Zealand, I will tell you this, but I don't know if you know this, but worship's not actually about you. I don't know if you know this, but this morning, not one person was singing to you. Not one of those songs was written about you. Worship's not about you. It's amazing to me how much, though, as, again, I'm going to be honest with you. In America, we deal with this probably more than New Zealand. But in America, like everything, like we just naturally make everything about us. Somehow it reverts back to it's about me. It's astounding. Listen, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. My wife will come up to me like, hey, Banny, when you did that other thing the other day, it kind of hurt my feelings. And I'm like, here's my response. Well, when you did that thing the other day, it hurt my feelings. Like somehow, I don't know how this just happened, but this is the woman I love, right? This is the woman I'm committed my life to. This is the woman that I adore with all my heart. And she comes and tries to express something about her. And I very quickly go, oh yeah? Well, it's about me. You had your feelings hurt? Oh yeah, well let me tell you about me. I had my feelings hurt, right? It's astounding how we can so naturally turn things so quickly about us. Guys, when somebody asks you how worship was, do you know how we describe how worship was? From our experience. Like, how was worship this morning? Oh man. So good. Dad was there, sang some of my favorite songs. Man, I just felt the presence of God. It was so good. I loved it. It was so powerful. I felt great. Or you just say, wasn't that good? You know, like that worship leader. He's not my favorite that goes up there today. And he's from Australia. He's a little overrated. And you know, he didn't really sing my favorite songs. I don't remember really my favorite songs. Like, this is how we're describing how worship was. Do you know when people say, how was worship? Your honest response should be, I don't know. You'll have to ask God. Yeah. Like, worship wasn't, it wasn't, nobody was singing to me in that room today. Well, right? Like, legitimately, when somebody says, how was worship? We're describing my favorite songs and my favorite worship leader. And listen, there's the presence of God that I experienced. And that's all fine. But ultimately, guys, you got to go, how was worship? I don't know. Like, I don't really like that song. Well, the good news is the song's not about you. It wasn't sung to you. So the question is, I don't know, does God like the song? I don't like that song. Well, okay, does God like it? Then if you like it or not is irrelevant. Are you with me on that? I didn't like that song. Well, good news, nobody was singing it to you. You weren't the center of that song. You know what's amazing too is so many times in worship, we forget it's about him. It's just natural human nature, guys. We just naturally want to take everything and kind of make it about us. I'll tell you this, even in environments that know how to worship, this is interesting, we can slowly come into, because I do love the presence of God. But it quickly becomes about me in that moment, not about, this is a gift I'm bringing to him, because he says, you know what I love? When you come and sing to me. This is, do you know that sometimes our worship is affected by our emotions? Do we have a bad week? Do we have a good week? How are we feeling? So maybe I'm not lifting my hands quite as high. I'm not singing quite as loud. I've had a pretty rough week. But do you know in the natural, you know how to set yourself aside for other people? Dude, you know, if my favorite nephew was having a birthday, let's say I worked at some sales job somewhere and I just had a horrible day on the job. My boss cussed me up and down. I lost two really big clients. Just a brutal day. Do you know that I still make sure I go and get a gift for my nephew before I show up to his birthday party that night? Yeah. My nephew's having a birthday party. I had a horrible day at work. I still go get a gift for him. Yeah. And I don't show up. Can you imagine me showing up and going, why don't you have a gift? I had a really, really rough day at work, okay? It was a rough day at work. And everybody going, oh, okay, man, no problem. You don't need to bring a gift for your nephew's birthday because you had a tough, right? Yeah. They're all singing happy birthday to him and I'm in the corner not singing. Yeah. Why aren't you singing? I just had a really tough day at work, okay? Right? We do that with worship. Right. Jesus says, God says, you know what I want? Will you bring me a gift of song? Of song of rejoicing? I had a really rough day, God. So in the natural, we actually know enough to set ourselves aside in that moment and say, it's not about me, it's about my nephew in this moment. So even though I had a bad day, I can still sing happy birthday to you. Are you with me on this? Worship is ultimately just a singing to the Lord. It's just a gift he loves. And so we say, all right, he loves when his kids come and sing. But there are real benefits to assembling together and singing. There's an overflow that happens because the presence of God comes. But there's something, let me just describe this to you, because something really powerful does happen when we gather and sing together. Paul writes to the church, to the Colossians. This is a church that's 10 years old. And you got to understand, when Paul's writing to these churches, these aren't just like church plants. These are churches that have never, like the church didn't exist. So Paul's writing to these brand new churches, trying to begin to kind of give them how to operate and what's important and things like that. And he writes to them in Colossians 3:16. And he's going to make this point that when you gather and teach and sing, the message of Christ dwells richly among you when you're singing together. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And then this is the important part, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Paul says, when you gather together, when you come and you sing to him with gratitude, when you come corporately together in the assembly and sing to him, he says, when that happens, it actually allows the message of Christ to dwell more richly among you. That if you want the message of Christ to dwell richly in your midst, then come together with songs of gratitude. There is something about singing, even in the natural, that unifies and brings a people together unlike anything else. We celebrate through song, and we declare through song, and we adore through song. But there's something about unification as well. I was just last year I was in Australia, and anytime I go to Australia, I try to go catch some live sporting event. And so I've been to a handful of these AFL games. I understand the sport a little bit, but I don't know a ton about the sport. But I was in Brisbane with a friend, and we went to his favorite team. And there's, you know, 30, 40,000 people in this stadium, and I know three people in the whole stadium. It's me, my friend, and two other people that came, but I'm having a blast watching it. And they have a tradition that when a certain player on the team scores, they begin to play over the loudspeakers, Country Roads, and the entire stadium at the top of their lungs sings Country Roads every time the guy scores. It's incredible. If you've been in a sporting event that does this type of stuff, it's something else. It's wild. And so all of a sudden, I'm in this stadium. I don't know anybody in this stadium. I'm a foreigner. I barely know this sport. I know three people. And when we started singing Country Roads, Take Me Home to the Place Where I Belong at the top of our lungs, there is something about where I'm like, I love all of you. You're all my family. I belong here. Like, it is the craziest thing. I'm like, I don't know anybody in this place. I don't even belong in this country. I don't know this sport at all. But man, when we all start singing Country Roads at the top of our lungs, there is something that's like, I love all of you. You're all my friends. Come over to my house. Like, it's wild. We go to England quite a bit. And when we go to England, we'll go to these Premier League games. And it's amazing to me. England's an interesting place if you're from England. But England is like, you know, it's these proper, quiet, you know, people. Until, you know, they're all, that's how they come across, right? They're all proper and quiet. And like, if you spill soup in their lap, they'll apologize, you know. Like, it's just this, but until you get them in a football match. And it's like all of the pent up, like all of the pent up properness that they've had to like, it just all comes out in the worst ways. I was in a Bolton Wanderers match outside Manchester, and there's like probably some 85-year-old lady behind me, and I'm like, I'm sure you're a sweet little granny. I'm sure you got grandkids. I bet you go to church on Sunday. Lady, what's coming out of your mouth should not be coming out of your mouth right now. That's just like, this is, that's not all right. It was crazy. But man, when they start singing songs, and there's something about a unifying force, they've been singing songs for 100 years, these places. So West Ham, which is in London, and it's in this part of London that would have come from like farm and agriculture and then kind of an industrial. So these are blue collar, hardworking, probably have a hard time showing their emotions men. These men that are in West Ham that grew up going to this, you know, supporting their football team, their kids would probably go, my dad's never said he loved me ever. You know, like they're like, he has a hard time expressing his emotions to me. But they sing a song since the 1920s from a Broadway musical in 1916 called I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. This is their song at West Ham. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Grown men for over 100 years that are working in the farms and the thing, somehow, when they start singing, something comes out of it. Let me show you the lyrics to this song. Can I show you the lyrics? This is the lyrics. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air, fly so high, nearly reach the sky, then like my dreams, they fade and die. Fortune, this is from a 1916 Broadway musical. Fortune's always hiding. I've looked everywhere. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. I'm gonna show you these men singing this, and I'm gonna put the lyrics next to it because these people are London, England, and you can't understand a word they're saying. So I'm going to put the lyrics next to him. But I want you to see this. Guys, there's something even in God created this. God created. He said, come and sing. God, what happens when we sing? There's a unity that begins to happen. There's something that happens when song brings together the redeemed that begin to pour out their adoration to the Lord. And you see it even in the natural. Again, these are grown men who probably, many of them struggle to share their emotions in life. But somehow when you put them in a football match and they've been singing a song together for their favorite football team for over 100 years, listen to these guys. dad's never told me he loved me. Hands raised, head back. There really is something when God says, you know what I love? Because God loves when his kids gather together and actually sing to him their adoration, that actually declare to him who he is. It's not about you, it's about him. Now listen, when we sing to him, he loves it so much, his presence comes. This is what we know. He's enthroned in the praise. He comes and sits. He remains. This is why I've had some of the most powerful moments with God in some of the most crazy places just because we decided to worship there. Right. It's not just in stadiums. And I've encountered God in tens and hundreds of thousands. I've been in places, hundreds of thousands worshiping. There's just something like, dude, this is incredible. But I've also been in, I took a group of, teenage boys, we can have the worship team come up. A group of teenage boys I took to a camping retreat when I was youth pastoring. There's probably 40 of them. These are teenage boys. And we were at this campsite. We wanted somewhere to worship. We weren't sure where. And so there was a bathroom, just a campsite bathroom. Cinder blocks, just cinder blocks. And so we all crammed in there, had a guy with a guitar. We began to worship the Lord in that bathroom with 40 teenage boys. And just the presence of God showed up in that place. Like God shows up when we say, and so when he shows up, things happen. The fullness of joy is in his presence. Yeah. Healing is in his presence. Yeah. Breakthrough is in his presence. Like, so why I'm alive, I find in his presence. Like, so there's something about the overflow of when I come to him and I say, God, what you've asked of me is that I would actually come and bring you a song of thanksgiving, a song of joy, a song of adoration, a song of declaration, a song of celebration. And you've asked that I would do it in the assembly with people. And when I do that, it's a gift we give to you. You love it. You really like when I do that. And you say, God, I can't sing. I'm not that good of a singer, but you still seem to love the gift that I bring to you. But when I do that, it brings this unifying factor into our midst. And your presence comes. And when your presence comes, this is why we know when you worship, his presence comes. And so sometimes we think worship is about us because we get to encounter his presence, but worship isn't about you. You get an overflow of it. But worship is ultimately just, God, you're the only one worthy. And we've been redeemed. The fall, we were worshiping creation. We were worshiping ourselves. When I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I had the revelation that there's only one worthy of worship. And so now I point my life at you in worship, and as part of that, I come and I bring songs to you. And guys, at some level, I want to tell you, it's some of it is just practical. God loves when you sing to him. So sometimes you're like, how is worship? And you go, brought him a gift. I hope he was pleased with it. How was worship? Well, I had a horrible week, but I showed up today. I woke up this morning. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm just going to come. I'm going to sing a song to him. And I showed up to church on Sunday and I put myself aside. And I just said, God, I'm going to come. You're the only one worthy. I'm going to come. I'm so grateful for who you are in the cross. Will you stand up with me this morning? I could tell the anointing came back when you sat down and started playing again. I don't know if you noticed that the anointing, it was gone for a while, and now it's back. We got a chorus we can just sing. We're going to let you go in just a minute, but can we just take a moment? Guys, listen, we love worship because we love the presence of God. But can a moment right now, can you just come and just bring it? He says even lift your hands. Why do we lift our hands? Guys, why do we lift our hands? Because the Bible says lift your hands. There's no other theological reason, right? There's no other like, oh, the hands represent this, and it's about this, and it's a, God just says, you know what I love? I love when you sing, and I love when you lift your hands to me. That's what I love. Say, hey, if that's the gift you want, you're the one that died on the cross for me. Can we just lift our hands in this place right now? And I want you to lift your voice as well. I just want us to sing this chorus. Bring a gift to him right now.
You're worthy of it all.
Bring this gift to him. Will you do that? He's the only one worthy. He loves what you're doing right now. He says, oh, I love that my kids are going to come and sing to me. I love that they're going to come and bring a song to me. We don't worship creation. We come and bring a gift of worship and song to the only one worthy. You're worthy of it all. Worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
Come on, sing. Listen, sing louder. Sing louder than you normally would right now. Sing that again. Listen, I want you to sing louder than you normally would. Give a gift. Give a gift to him. Give a gift to the Lord. Give a gift to the Lord.
Close every head bowed. If you're here today and your life is not right with God, but you want to get right with him today, maybe you've never made a decision to follow him, or maybe you'd be honest today and say, Steve, my life is far from God. God loves you. God made you. God's got a great plan for your life. We all sin. We all mess up. We all fall short of God's standard. Our sin separates us from God, and the payment due for our sin is death. But God in his grace sent his own son Jesus to a cross. When he died on that cross, he paid the debt that you and I were due for our sin. And he conquered death in the grave, and he rose again to new life. And he extends to every single person his gift of grace. A brand new start, a brand new life. God will make you brand new from the inside out. Get to walk into the plans that God's got for you. It's this great gift of eternity in heaven with him. And if you're here and you're not right with God, real quick, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. I'll pray this out loud. You pray it with me in your heart. Say, God, today, right here and right now, I give you my life. I know I've sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. So today, I receive your gift of grace. Forgive me of all my wrongs and come be the Lord of my life today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.